Ray, it is. What did you make of the deadline? A lot of people really liked what Carolina did. It was one game; it didn't work out for them, but they took a lot of swings, as did the Edmonton Oilers. Was there a team that you felt did really well that maybe didn't get a lot of fanfare for it?
Well, I mean, given where they are, I like that Ottawa was able to get a first, a second, and a conditional third for Pageau. They get a fifth for Ennis, and they're at the point where pile in the draft picks, and then when you get to near the draft, you can make a move to move out a couple of those picks for somebody that's on a team that is cap, in cap jail. Give them a lifeline by taking one of their mid-20s players that's going to get a big payday, but you have cap, you have picks to give them. So I like that from Ottawa's standpoint. I kind of like that Montreal was able to do the same thing, because I kind of feels like in the summer they're going to make a move with one of their, one of their name guys, not Price or Weber necessarily. I don't feel that, but that now they've got some more draft picks that they can use as enticers. They've got all kinds of cap space, and I liked what they did too. I like the Oilers' moves because they didn't touch their young defensemen that are in their system. They didn't touch their first rounder. And maybe if they've got to make a move somewhere in the summer, which they probably will for cap stuff, maybe they can attack back and get one of those second rounders back that they moved for Athanasiou. I was surprised Colorado just added Namestnikov. I thought they might do more, but and I didn't quite understand Florida's move, to be honest with you, from their perspective.
When you look at the Edmonton Oilers, and specifically Athanasiou, he's a guy who's had success on his own, but now he's being given the opportunity to play with probably the most dynamic offensive player on the planet. What should be his mindset? As he's already played one game, but moving forward now, what is your mindset as a guy that needs to finish chances given to you by McDavid?
Well, as for the finishing part, I wouldn't overthink that, because I know that I'm going to get more chances than I've ever got, and that, of course, is because you've got a guy that's going to create more chances than anybody else can create, right? So I really wouldn't overthink that. I wouldn't overthink that. Although I know that if I were playing on that wing, I would overthink it, because I know this is like a golden ticket for the opportunity to play there. But as I sit here, it's easy to say this, but I would work hard to say, okay, look, I'm going to get a lot of chances and I know I can finish, so I'm just going to let that go. The one thing that I would constantly try to hammer in my head is that every time I find myself carrying the puck from my hash marks into the offensive zone, I've done the wrong thing. Like, he loves to carry the puck. It's a really big part of his game. But if you're going to play with McDavid, McDavid has to have the puck. When you hit the defensive blue line, it's got to be in McDavid's hands. And then you have to skate and find the open ice. And I would think that would be a little bit of an adjustment for him. And that's where I would, I used to pick like four or five things to go over my head before every game, to help me kind of lock in on what I needed to do that night. But if I was Athanasiou, that would be one of my five every night.
Ray Farrell from TSN joins us. I do wonder how much of that, Ray, had to do with the fact of who his centers were, right? Like Glenn Denning and...
I've watched him. Jason, I've watched him since he came into the American League.
Okay.
Landon was in Detroit, and he likes the puck, and he's actually really good lugging the puck up the ice, right? Like, he's a powerful skater, and he can carry it. He used to be a center. It didn't matter who his wingers were. He was going to carry it. When he got to the wing, he was going to carry it. That's a really big part of his game, and part of the adjustment is going to be, you've got to have a realistic approach to what you're doing here. And as Strud's mentioned, you're at a different level here. You're playing with, there's lots of guys that are good, and then you're playing with Connor, and that's different. And he needs to have the puck, and so hopefully that'll resonate with him, because I can tell you can't just change the way you play easily. Like, he's going to get the puck, and the first thing he's going to think of is goal, because that's what he always does. And he's actually quite good at it. But it's not the right option when Connor McDavid's 15 feet from you.
What was the toughest adjustment, Ray, you had to make 4 or 5 years into your career that, you know, had maybe been a real strong part of your game for the previous 7 or 8 seasons?
Oh, the adjustment for me was always that I carried the puck too much.
Okay.
And the coaches wanted me to get it out of my hands and, you know, and play more give and go. But I've been the type of player in junior, you know, certainly when I was, you know, 17, 18, 19, you know, are the real years that matter. What you do when a kid, as you're a kid, that's a little different. But, like, at that age, I was able to carry the puck a lot, and I was able to beat guys. And then I got to the NHL, and, you know, in my first full year, I got 30 goals. And so, like, you know, why was I going to change?
Yeah.
Even though I kept having this, hey, you got to give it up and get it back. Give it up and get it back. I mean, I must have heard that 1,000 times. And it's funny, the time you hear the message is when you get knocked on your rear end, right? When things don't go so well.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, maybe, just maybe, Edmonton is getting Athanasiou,
yeah,
and the potential to change his game at the right time. Look, we're all aware plus minus doesn't mean what it used to mean, but every time he picks up a stat sheet that we all looked at in the locker room, every one of us, eh, Struts?
Oh, yeah.
Just to take a look, and he sees dash 40, maybe you're getting the guy that goes, you know what, my way's not quite working. And the change can be easier because you're always ready to hear the message at various times in your career. If he doesn't hear the message now, well, I would say, well, gee, I wonder when he's going to hear it. He's 25 years old, right? He's right in the heyday of when he's supposed to be moving into the best years of his career.
Breaking down the Word of the NHL with TSN's Ray Ferraro. Ray, no Yamamoto last night for the big man, Nugent Hopkins, and, of course, Leon Draisaitl. And that line did not look the same. What does he bring that those two guys, you know, maybe don't have in their skill sets?
Well, you know, so I met his parents at the World Junior Tournament, and then, you know, I met him just briefly. And of course, man, like, I'm the biggest guy in the room, and I'm like, how's this guy going to play, right? Like he's so small. And it's not just that it's not like, oh, he's short but thick. He's not, you guys have seen him, he's a little guy. Except his tenacity on the puck, man, I forget what game it was he was in. It was in Edmonton. He got thumped in front of the net, got knocked down, like, good. And then he jumped into the play, and he thought it was a penalty. He turned to the ref, and then the puck turned over. And man, he was right back in the play, and he scored. And I was like, I don't care how big that guy is. Like, that, to me, showed a toughness and a tenacity that I just didn't know was there. And I think, you know, I think Nugent Hopkins and Draisaitl will miss that. The strengths of both of them, I wouldn't call them tenacious. And so the buzzsaw that's on the puck on the forecheck loses it, gets on his horse and gets over to the other corner to keep that forecheck alive. And then once it gets into Nugent Hopkins or Leon's hands, I mean, it's ball game, right? Like, you're in the game. And he's a good player, better than I thought he was going to be when, you know, from my first look at him. They were probably right to, not probably, they were right to keep him out of sight until his game matured a little bit, and then he was ready to play with these players. Because you could have put him there last year and he would have got knocked all over like a tennis ball. But now it's different for him. And it's funny, one guy out of a thin top six, and you can see, like, oh, it doesn't quite look the same. Maybe they'll get everybody back at one point here, and you can see that Dave Tippett will have some options, which he's just not had most of the year.
Ray Ferraro from TSN joins us. I'm very curious to see how the Oilers respond. I thought they were just kind of sleepy last night against the Ducks, especially for the first 30 minutes.
Yeah, they dozed out in that first period, eh?
So, for sure. And you know what? They've been pretty good in the first, at least for scoring. They've given up a lot of goals, too. Like, these two teams, the first period, Vegas has had a combined 130 goals, for and against. The Oilers are 129. So the first period tonight should be a must-watch TV if you like goals anyway. Ray, some other news around. You look at Tampa Bay, Goudreau and Coleman they get. You look at Boston's trade. A hockey trade, really. They bring in Nick Ritchie. Pittsburgh made a lot of moves. You got the Washington Capitals, Kovalchuk. Of those top four, which one do you like best now based on the moves they made?
I'm every bit as muddled on my top four as, on those four as I was before the deadline. I like what Pittsburgh did. They added some real depth to a team that's had a remarkable year for the number of injuries they've had. You can also add for Pittsburgh, they're going to get a trade deadline acquisition in Brian Dumoulin, who's back from injury. He's been out for about 3 months, and that's a top pair defenseman for him. Him and Letang are really good together. I like Pittsburgh a lot. I love Washington's depth and size. We'll see if Holtby gets back on the beam a little bit, or if they're going to kind of run the both of them right into the end. Boston's really good. They were in the Stanley Cup final last year into Game 7, and their team's no worse this year, right? It's a really good team, but I kind of think Tampa is just a smidge ahead. I think the Stanley Cup is in one of those four places this year. I respect St. Louis and the fact that they're a deep and big and a really, really great team. But I think the Stanley Cup winner will come out of the East.
Ray, does it make a difference? I told you that Tarasenko's back for Game 1 in the playoffs and good to go. Does that change your feelings?
No, because then they're just a really good team still, too, right? Except they've got that one-shot shooter back. I mean, he'll make a difference to their lineup for sure. I don't know, maybe some of it is nobody ever repeats, or I guess Pittsburgh did a few years ago, but, man, it's so almost impossible to repeat. I don't think they'll be the same team without Jay Bouwmeester. I think that's a big loss for them. Jay had an unbelievable playoff for them. I think they'll miss him at some point. And I'm not even sure why I'm so confident in the East, because it's going to be a brawl to get out of there, right? Like, those four teams, assuming they get to their division finals, those are going to be just brawl series to get out of there. And you would think St. Louis would have an easier run. But there's just something about it that I think one of those four is where the cup is just, they're just a little bit, going to be a little bit stronger than the West representative.
Ray, always good to catch up with you. Enjoy the week. Should be interesting to see how things unfold. By next Wednesday, we might have a slightly clearer picture on the playoffs. We'll see. Appreciate your time.
Well, honestly, week by week, we're going to get, teams are going to drop or they're going to separate themselves, right? And another week will clear up a little bit. Hey, do you teach your nephew how to shoot like that?
No, I can tell you absolutely zero, Ray. He's got a rocket of a shot, doesn't he?
Well, you know what I noticed was, like, he was the guy that got in and started the forecheck.
Yeah.
Like, he had a good thump on the kid behind the net, and then instead of standing around, he kind of, when the puck turned over, he was in the right spot to shoot it. And, man, that was one hell of a shot. That was a strutty-like one time.
Yeah. But that, I can tell you, is not the case. But what's funny? Like, something he's always he's always worked on. I also liked it that later in the game he gave Giroux a little pop and got the Flyers all fired up. So he's trying to get he's lost that. I talked to him. I think he's gotten over the awe of playing against his idols.
Yeah.
He's only 21 years of age, and I think, he took a big run at Subban the other game, and I think I talked to him, and it was like that, all of a sudden the light went off, like, okay, you know what, like, no more, wow, I'm in the NHL.
Well, make yourself noticed, and while you're waiting to score, don't not make yourself noticed.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's a pretty good way to get it done. Good for him.
Awesome. Thanks, Ray. Appreciate your time.
Buddy.